Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 12, ending in verse 36, where Pastor Dave will be talking about how careful we need to be when it comes to compromise. When sin is able to harbor in our hearts, it will grow into something we never could have imagined it could. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave.
Genesis chapter 37, let's read verse 12 to verse 14, and then we'll go back through and kind of take a look to see what the Lord has for us. It reads, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed thy flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I." This is talking of Joseph. And in verse 14 it says, "He said to him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he went out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem." Joseph, remember, as we saw last week, 25% of the print in Genesis goes to this guy. And so the Lord is certainly holding his life out in front of us for a reason. There's much to glean from. There's much to learn from this great character. Remember, there's a lot of symbolism in his life representing the life of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of integrity in this man, a lot of application for you and I. So we're going to move through this slowly. We're not going to rush through our remaining chapters in Genesis. We want to receive all that the Lord has for us found in this character. But I want to draw your attention to this man's integrity. Check it out what it says again in verse 12. It's talking of Joseph's brethren. It says that they went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, some 50 miles away from where they were. We don't know why they went there, but they did. And then it says in verse 13 that Israel said unto him, he says, "Do not your brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And look at Joseph's response. He said to him, "Here am I." I've kind of invented this term. How many of you are familiar with the term diva? How many of you ladies are divas? How many of you are moms of divas? Okay, there we go. Well, how about a divo, right? A male diva? Okay, there's a lot of divos too, isn't there? Divos and divas in our society. Listen to this. How many of you are familiar with Jay-Z and Beyonce? How many of you listen to them? How many of you are rocking out to them on the way here to church tonight? Okay, good. Well, they are famous. She's a singer. He's a rap star. They're very big in our society in the music world. Listen to this. These are classic divas and divos. Listen to this. Jay-Z and Beyonce paid a reported $1.3 million to have a whole floor of the hospital put on lockdown this past weekend when their daughter was born. $1.3 million. It says this, quote, this is one of the patients that were having their children born at the same time. "They just used the hospital like it was their own and nobody else mattered." Does it sound like your diva or daughter that lives in, or divo that lives in your house, right? Like everything's their own and nobody else matters. This man, Neil Colson, said, he said that his twins were born premature and they were put in the NICU. He said, "They locked us into the NICU and they would say to us, you can't come out into the hallway for the next 20 minutes. When I finally was able to go back out, I went to the waiting room and they had ushered my family downstairs." And this is a man that was just as equally, you know, he had the equal rights to have his children in the hospital too. But Beyonce and JD's security, Jay-Z's, not JD's, they ushered them away from the NICU unit because that whole floor was reserved for them. It's reported that Jay-Z bought for his brand new daughter, her name is Blue, that he bought for Blue a $600,000 solid gold homemade horse from Japan. My daughter rides a little fuzzy, you know, horse thing from Toys R Us. That thing's broken. But this one's a solid gold horse, reported $600,000. She will have to sleep in a coach-like crib from Posh Tots, for which her parents paid nearly $20,000 for her crib. And when it is time to chow down on pureed peas and applesauce, Blue will sit in a $15,000 high chair dripping with crystals. Unbelievable. These and other Fit for a Queen gifts, the report gives us, have set the Carters, that's Jay-Z and Beyonce's last name, back about $1.5 million in gifts for their newborn daughter. That is a diva or a divo. Now, remember if you were with us last week, why am I bringing this up? Because Joseph certainly was not a diva or a divo, right? This guy, he has these crazy dreams if you were here last week. If not, you can check out the beginning of the chapter on your own later. God gives him these dreams because they come to pass. We'll see that in the next few weeks. He gives him these dreams that not only are his brothers and sisters going to bow down before him, but even his very own parents would bow down before him. In fact, all of the nation would bow down before him. And I believe Joseph and his integrity and his innocence, he shared these dreams and visions with his parents and with his siblings. Now, again, if you're familiar with this text, his brothers already hated him. And you can be sure that this report made them hate him even more. But it tells us at the end of verse 11 that his father observed the saying, that he thought on the saying, he held on to what Joseph said. Something clicked within him, just like it did with Mary when the shepherds reported of Jesus being the Savior of the world in the Gospels. Now, it's interesting to me because here he's given this great dream of position, of prestige, of power, of prominence. And yet his father says, hey, I want you to go check on your brothers. They went 50 miles and travel away, and I want you to go see if they're okay. And he doesn't say, hang on a minute here, Dad. Do you not see the bling that I'm wearing? Do you not see this colored robe? You gave it to me. Did you forget who I am? Did you not hear me correctly, old man, that I am going to be ruler and reigning over this land someday, and even you yourself are going to bow down before me? He puts all of that aside, all of that revelation that was so heavy on his heart that he expressed it to his brothers and his father for the sake of obedience to his dad. There's a great lesson to learn in this here. In fact, one commentator said this, and it really stuck with me. This is a mark of true greatness. God knew that he could, please listen, that he could trust Joseph with dreams of future power, and he gave him the grace to go with the revelation. Listen, many times you come into church, and the preacher, the pastor says that you're to trust in the Lord, right? You'll hear him say that to you. Trust in God. He'll see you through everything that you're going through in this life. Trust in the Lord. But tonight, I kind of want to reverse things. I'm not saying that the Lord needs to trust in you, but I'm asking you this. Can the Lord trust you? You understand what I'm saying? Can the Lord trust you? Can he entrust you a vision? Can he entrust you a word of knowledge? Can he entrust with you a future revelation that might even concern you of power, of prominence, of position, of prestige? And do you have that grace to tuck it in your back pocket, store it in the depths of your heart, and say, Lord, I'll wait on you till you bring this thing to pass. And until then, I'll continue to report to those who are over me, here I am. You want me to go and be lowly and find out how my brothers are, the brothers that God showed me would bow down to me one day? Then I'll do it. Does this not minister to your heart, saints? Does this not encourage you that you should want to be a person that is trustworthy to the Lord? I've experienced the opportunity for the Lord to give me some words of knowledge this week, as a matter of fact. A couple of times it happened right in a row, right on Monday and Tuesday. On Monday morning, as I was spending my time with the Lord put on my heart that I was going to deal with some opposition. The Lord put on my heart that I was going to be facing some accusations and ridicule. And he prepared me by saying, you better get ready and pray. And no doubt, just a couple hours after I got into the office, I was reported to of certain rumors that were going around and things that were being said. And to me, you have to laugh because it's like we just go on the radio last week and the enemy isn't happy about it, is he? And so I handled it with the grace of God and the wisdom that I believe that God gave to me. And as I was handling things on the phone, there were things going on outside of my door. And the Lord had shown me in advance that these things were going to happen. He trusted me to give me that revelation so that I could deal with it properly. The next morning, actually that night, I had dreams of a person that really wounded me, that really hurt me, that came against me. And in my dream, I was hugging that person. And I went to the person and asked them that if we could be restored, that if we could have fellowship once again. That very next day, I was challenged by somebody that knows me and that person and said, hey, what do you think of ever getting together with this person and reconciling? The Lord was preparing me for that, which what he was going to do. Granted that it's a lot more menial than the things that were revealed to Joseph. But are you a trustworthy person to the Lord? Can the Lord give you future revelations and know that you're not going to do anything with it until he says move, until he says act? If you would hold your place here and come with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Check out this example by the greatest king to ever rule over Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll pick up in verse 1. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 reads, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. First Samuel chapter 16, skip down to verse 4. It says, and Samuel did that which the Lord spoke to him, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and they said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, middle of verse 5, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, it reads, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Now, I don't know what this guy looked like, but maybe he looked the part. Maybe he kind of resembled Saul, the one that the Lord just rejected. Maybe he was really tall and lean and handsome and looked like a warrior and somebody that the people would look to. Listen, I'm not endorsing any candidates, especially from this pulpit. If you want to talk to me about politics, we can do that after service. But when you watch the Republican candidates, isn't there something about Mitt Romney where you're like, this guy just looked presidential? I don't know if it's that slicked hair, man. I just want to go like this to his hair so bad. Just mess it up, all that gel that's in his hair. He probably uses a whole bottle of LA Lux to do that. But here he's got that hair, he's got the voice, he's got the stature, doesn't he? He looks presidential, doesn't he? The way he walks and carries himself and handles it. And then you got a guy like Newt Gingrich, you know. I like him. I'm not endorsing him. I'm just talking about the way they look. And it's like, and so this guy, this first brother of David, he comes and he stands before Samuel. And Samuel says, oh, this must be him. There was something about the outward that caused the Lord to say unto Samuel in verse 7, look not on his countenance. Or don't look at the height of his stature. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't care about the height of our stature, amen? It don't matter how tall you are. Look not on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, said the Lord. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. In verse 8, it goes on to say, then Jesse called Abinadab, and he made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Verse 9, then Jesse made Shammai to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And in verse 10 it says, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, verse 11, are here all your children? Do you have any other kids that are missing? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. Don't you love that about the men that God uses? God always picks people that are already busy about his work. You want to be used for God, saints? Then don't just sit there in the pews and wait for him to tap on your shoulders. Be busy about your Father's business presently. And as you're faithful to tend to the sheep, the flock, the garden that God has you in, as you're faithful with the small things, he'll entrust you with greater things. But don't think that he's going to tap you on the shoulder to use you when you're just sitting there idle to begin with. He's going to entrust you with greater ministry. greater opportunities as you're already faithful with the little things that he's given to you. David's out tending to the sheep. All the boys come in. They're standing there. It's like, it reminds me of the movie Cinderella. Right? You know, they're trying to find a date for the prince. And who's going to be the date to the prince or the baller? Whatever the storyline is. And Cinderella's not even included. She's up cleaning. She's being a maid. She's not even being thought of. And that whole time, she was going to be the one. David's out tending to the sheep. His brothers are all in the house, probably all giddy. Oh, my goodness, Samuel the prophet is here. This dude is crazy, man. He loves Jesus, and he's radical. I can't believe he's in our house, one of us. God's got something for one of us. Who's it going to be? And it's not even any of them. Samuel's looking at them. God's ministering to his heart. There's just this connection, you know. Samuel's hearing from God. God's like, it's none of them. Samuel says to Jesse, do you have any other kids? Is there any other boys running around the property anywhere? And Jesse says, well, there is one other kid. There is one other guy. He's out tending to the sheep. And so it says in verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, in the middle there it says, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And so he sent, verse 12, and he brought him in. Now he was a ruddy or a red-haired, and with all of a beautiful countenance, he had beautiful eyes that's talking of. And he was goodly to look to. He was handsome. And so he comes in, and the Lord says in verse 12, arise, anoint him, for this is he. The only person in the Bible that it's said of so tremendously that he's a man after God's own heart. And so in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed them in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David for that day forward. So Samuel rose up and he went to Ramah. Now, we don't really know exactly how old David was at this point, but he was just a young shepherd boy still living at home with his dad, tending to his father's sheep. Imagine this. God sends his prophet Samuel, who is well known throughout all the land, to come there and to anoint him with oil. There's this spiritual experience that takes place. He pours oil over David's head. Imagine coming up tonight and asking me to anoint you with oil, and I take this whole bottle here, and I just start dumping it over your head. How many of you would resent me afterwards? How many of you would turn around to the person behind you and say, don't see him tonight? He's in a weird mood, right? Imagine this. Samuel, he pours the oil over his head. As far as records go, we don't know exactly what was said to him. All we know is that he poured that oil upon him, but we are told that the Spirit of God came upon David right here. But what's interesting is there was a time of waiting, wasn't there? There was some type of revelation. The Spirit of God was upon him. Maybe the Holy Spirit gave him the insight. You're going to be the next king. But it wasn't right there and then, was it? Yes, in the eyes of God, it was right there. And then he had rejected Saul. This was his man. But as far as the nation went, they weren't going to receive him for some 10 to 15 years later. In fact, from the time that David was about 17 until he was 30, when he was crowned king over Judah, he was on the run from Saul. Remember, at first, Saul, who was troubled by an evil spirit, he embraced David as a gifted, skilled musician. He'd play the harp for him. And then the next thing you know, David's playing a song on the harp, and all of a sudden, a javelin would fly by, and it would just miss him. And these things would continually happen. And after he wasn't able to succeed in killing him, he would then plot different plans and say, David, hey, listen, you know, you can marry my daughter, be the king's son-in-law, but here's what you got to do. You got to go kill 100 Philistines and bring me back their foreskins. Ha, 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 you're going to die. Good luck with that. And then David, the mighty warrior that he was, he would not only go out and get 100 foreskins, but he'd go out and get 200 foreskins of the Philistines. Imagine that slaughter. And then he brought it back, the scriptures say, on a rope. What did Saul do with that? And there was these constant fleeings from Saul, running from Saul. That's why we named the Engedi Cafe Engedi, because that's what it was to David in the Bible. It was a refuge place. It was a place of hiding from Saul. In fact, many of the Psalms that you read are David's recordings during those times of his life, for that decade plus, where he had to flee from his life. Here the Lord gave him revelation, some type of revelation. You're going to be king. And he finds himself in a cave. much like Joseph, isn't it? Your family's going to be bowing down before you. And yet he finds himself, as we're going to see in a few minutes, going to seek his brethren who are plotting nothing but evil towards him. Can God trust you, saints, with giving you some type of vision, with giving you some type of dream, some type of insight, some type of future revelation of how he's going to use you, what he's going to do with your life? And can he trust you with patience that you're going to wait on him to bring it to pass, and that you're not going to have ambition to take the bull by the horns and make it happen the way that you want it to happen and the timing that you want it to happen? Here's what I'm essentially asking you. Can God trust you to keep your hands off the work that he reveals to you? Can God trust you with that? You see, David's an incredible example. David, during this time of fleeing from Saul, he describes himself in several places. In 1 Samuel 26:20, he says, I am hunted like a partridge. In Psalm 102, verse 6, he says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. In Psalm 102, verse 6, he says, I am like an owl of the desert. In Psalm 57, verse 4, it says, my soul is among lions. In Psalm verse 6 of chapter 57, it says, they have prepared a net for my steps. Read Psalm 59 and what David writes when he's fleeing for his life from Saul and the things that he would go through. Check out what he does, though. Come with me to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Skip a few chapters ahead and look at this opportunity he has to take matters in his own hands. Right? God already gave him the revelation. Hey, you're going to be king. This man's done. You have the anointing of the Spirit upon you. Samuel sealed the deal. Remember that whole bottle of oil dripping down your head? My Spirit came upon you. You felt that experience. You're going to be king. I mean, what kind of integrity did this man have to not do anything with the knowledge of what he was going to be one day? I mean, maybe you're not understanding where I'm going tonight because you haven't had these type of opportunities yet where God's entrusted to you some type of vision. But don't you want to be trusted by God? I mean, I like to be trusted by people, and by the grace of God, I am somebody who's trusted by people. I know many, in fact, even those of you who are here tonight, I know your stories, and I know things that you're going through because there's trust between you and I, and I value that, and integrity is one of those things that I strive to have in my life between you and myself.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.